This week's episode of the You're on the Clock podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/on the clock. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Once again, that's audibletrial.com/on the clock. If you like the show, then make sure you guys give us some love. The next time you're going to buy anything on Amazon, before you do, go to our website at ontheclockpodcast.com and click the Amazon banner. It doesn't cost you anything, and anytime you buy something, we get a kickback, and it helps us pay the bills and keep the podcast running. So once again, before you do anything, go to ontheclockpodcast.com and click the Amazon banner.
Are we ready?
Oh, yeah!
Get this party started.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome.
You're on the clock with Matt Geiger, only on the Lineup Media Group Podcast Network.
All right, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. On today's podcast, we're going to talk about Johnny Manziel, Brock Osweiler, and a ton of penalties from Week 11 in the NFL. My name is Matt Geiger. Joining me in studio, as always, Iron Mike. And we're just going to jump right into it today, aren't we, Mike?
Yeah, I guess so. But first, I'd just like to say another 6-0 week for me.
In fantasy football?
Fantasy football.
Well, if we're going to talk about fantasy football, let's talk about how I just won, like $250?
Sure.
Daily fantasy?
Yep.
Feels good, but it would have felt better if I won the $800 that I was slated to win at the beginning of the day. Needless to say, let's jump right into this stuff. We're going to go over some injuries, news, and notes. We're going to talk about these penalties. We're going to talk about some key injuries or unforeseen injuries. And we're going to do our picks and fantasy golden garbage. All right, Mike, let's jump right into it then. We're going to start with Patrick Peterson, the cornerback of the Arizona Cardinals, who is day-to-day with an ankle injury. Devonta Freeman, running back from the Atlanta Falcons, is going through concussion protocol, but has been quoted to be off to a good start. Quarterback Joe Flacco, unfortunately, tore his ACL and MCL. He's out for the season. I got to see that live and in person, as well as the Justin Forsett broken ulna and radius bones, which are both bones in your forearm. He broke both of those in his right arm. And left tackle for the Ravens, Eugene Monroe, has a shoulder injury. He left the game, and his status is uncertain. Also in that game, Rams quarterback Case Keenum suffered a concussion. There was a lot of controversy surrounding Case Keenum himself because he suffered the injury, and while he was on the ground, he stumbled getting up, he fell once or twice, and then his offensive lineman had to pick him up. The thing in question here was, while he was on the ground, why a doctor wasn't out on the field, or why the issued doctor for the NFL that's supposed to be there to handle concussion protocol didn't stop the game or have him removed or evaluated at all. Watching this game in person, I was able to see a bunch of stuff aside from the concussion and the mishap with that, which Jeff Fisher said he actually sent the team doctor onto the field, and because the play wasn't whistled dead and the clock was still running, he never saw Keenum stumbling to get up, and then the doctor ran off the field because they tried running another play.
That's a big fuck up by the NFL, no?
It is, because they're so heavy on their concussions and how they want to handle everything, but they miss something so big like that. And there's usually a guy in the booth, like up in the boxes, that's looking out for that stuff because they get a better view of the field than anybody else. The NFL's investigating into why he wasn't taken out of the game, why he didn't go through the protocol on the sideline, and I guess how it's prevented, or what they can do to make sure that these guys are getting checked up on. But the biggest issues that have been talked about, especially this week in a number of games, was the lack of, I guess you could say, proper calls or missed calls or blown calls, just in general, the amount of fuck ups that the refs are having. Because in the Rams Ravens game specifically, like I said, I was there. And shout out to my cousin Joey for hooking me up with the ticket. I had a great time, even though the game sucked. There was a ton of penalties. The Rams got penalized 6 times for 35 yards. Baltimore, 10 times for 137. There was a bunch of unnecessary roughness, personal fouls. But there was a bunch of calls that, being there in person and watching it, you know, generally when stuff like this happens, they go to commercial break when you're watching on TV. But there was a play where the ball was underthrown by Keenum and the receiver was coming back to it. It was like 10 yards underthrown, not totally not catchable. And after the ball hit the ground, the refs threw a flag and then debated for probably 10 to 15 minutes on whether or not it should have been a pass interference call or whether they should wave the flag off. Just in general, just a bunch of calls that could have went either way. It got to the point where the fans were booing so loud that you couldn't hear the ref on the microphone. And I've never heard a crowd get that loud, especially booing. You know what I mean? Like, it was pretty nuts.
Yeah, usually it's from like a touchdown.
You gotta get closer. But as far as the controversy goes, that carries into the Sunday night game, which was the Cincinnati Bengals and the Arizona Cardinals. The controversy surrounding this game was on the last drive of the game. The Cardinals have the ball, and they're driving. They get to the line of scrimmage to spike the ball, and then a flag gets thrown. And you automatically think it's going to be a false start on the offense, which would push them back. And at the time, I believe it was about a 42 or a 45-yard field goal, something like that. What ended up happening was the refs called unsportsmanlike conduct on the Bengals defensive tackle, Domantae Pecco, for mimicking the quarterback's cadence, which they said led to an offensive lineman jumping before the ball was snapped. The Cardinals coaches had tipped off the refs that they were doing this all game, and when asked after the game, Marvin Lewis said that his guy was saying, get on the ball, not mimicking the snap count. Either way, what ends up happening is it goes from a 45-yard field goal to like a 32, right? Or if it was 47 to a 32.
If it's a personal foul, then 15 yeah, it's yards. A 15-yard penalty.
So it gives Chandler Catanzaro a way easier field goal and a win as the time expired. And, I mean, something like that, I guess when they go back and look at it, if they can get the audio from on the field and they can hear him blatantly using Palmer's cadence, then yes, it's warranted.
I think they would have to kind of have evidence throughout the course of the game, not just the last play.
Well, but even if he's calling out the cadence on the last play, it's still unsportsmanlike. But they were, but like we said,
it's more like frowned upon if you just do it once.
No, but if you get caught once, it's a penalty. You know what I mean? But this is another thing, because this could have been addressed earlier in the game and still not affected the outcome, because if the refs are paying attention to it, then, you know, it could have been flagged earlier in the game, and then they wouldn't have been doing it on the last drive of the game, and it wouldn't have been a penalty.
It wouldn't have changed the outcome to the game
exactly
as drastically as it did.
Exactly. And the third game, I'm sure there was more. Like I said, I was at the Rams-Ravens game, so I wasn't able to watch a lot of football this week. But these were the most notably bad calls or controversial calls. I'm sure there might have been some in other games too. And if you remember anything specifically, make sure you find us on Facebook at On The Clock Podcast and pop it on there so we can kind of get an idea of how bad the refs were this week. But the other controversial call was in the New England game. There was a play where Tom Brady threw the ball to Danny Amendola. He caught it at about the 45-yard line, and then there was an inadvertent whistle that blew the ball dead on the 45. Amendola had space to run after the catch, but because the ball, the whistle was blown, you can't progress the ball further than the spot when the play was blown dead. And then there was another controversy on where they actually spotted the ball because the whistle was blew dead. There's something along, I guess, where they placed it compared to where it was caught or something like that. That play led to a missed field goal by Steven Gostkowski, which not only could have cost New England the game, but it also snapped Gostkowski's consecutive field goal streak. He was 100% on the year going into this week. So
yeah, it was the longest active at 30, I think.
Yeah,
30 in a row.
Was it, did he pass? Who was it? Vanderjagt that had it?
No, he didn't. He didn't pass.
It was the longest active.
Longest active,
but not the NFL record. No. He was. If it was 30, I think he was too short of Vanderjagt. But this brings up the controversy with refs.
It's been bad.
They're saying that, you know, with replay and all this technology that they have, that the game is being called on a more level playing field with the ability to go back and review plays and challenge plays and all this stuff. But with the refs being on the field, there's essentially now a big group of people that are saying that all the refs are there for now is to fuck the game up. And this year, it seems like that's the case.
Well, you know, this is one of the things that I've always thought about since the replays have been more involved. And it was the refs blowing the whistle way too early on whatever the case is.
It could be a fumble. It could be an intercepted pass.
Especially on turnovers. They blow the whistle dead. They don't let it play out. And then there's nothing really to challenge.
Now, my question is, as far as the refs go, is this something that can be taught to the refs? Like, you know, let the play continue and develop before you blow the whistle, or let the play go and then let the ruling be made by the booth? Or is it something that's just like, well, human error is part of the game and we have to deal with it?
No, just take the fucking whistle out of your mouth. It'll be harder to blow then.
Right. If the whistle's not in your mouth, by the time you get it out of your pocket or from your hand to your mouth, you could let things process and figure out, like, okay, maybe this wasn't what I thought it was, or maybe this penalty wasn't this or wasn't that or whatever. The other thing that we will say, Roger Goodell is seriously considering switching around what refs are in what crews. And that, I guess, he's just trying to either appease everybody who's complaining about it, or he just wants to shake things up. One thing that I did hear was some crews are more likely to call certain penalties.
Well, yeah, because these guys work with each other throughout the course of the season. They're on the same crew throughout the course of the season. They'll work different games. You know, no one crew will work, you know, a number of Patriot games or a number of Jets games.
Right, they get mixed up throughout the NFL. But the I remember there was one crew last year that threw like five times more pass interference penalties than any other crew in the NFL.
Yeah,
and that's a problem.
Like, stuff like that is more of judgment, you know?
Not only that, but if they're only looking for that, then does that mean that the refs are only looking for pass interference and they're not looking at other aspects of the game? You know what I mean? Like, they're not looking at the offensive line, or they're not looking at linebacker play. They're looking just to throw offensive pass interference calls.
No, it just means that the judges in the secondary are
flag happy.
Flag happy, yeah, a little more strict.
Either way, this is something that the NFL needs to look into, and it needs to be addressed. And moving forward, I do think that they should shuffle up the referee crews, because if it's going to be like this all year, it's going to be a problem.
There's been a result of this year specifically, sloppy play calling, sloppy play, and sloppy officiating. And it's resulted in a really poor NFL product this year.
Yeah, it seemed like
on top of all of the injuries,
this season seems a little more lackluster than some of the other seasons in the last few years.
Well, between the poor play and one of the questions, you know, Danielle wanted to ask, I told her to email it in, but
that would be ontheclockpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, and she wanted to know, you know, if there was any kind of trend behind all of these injuries. What's going on with all of these injuries? Or Is it just more the star players now?
I think it's a little bit of that, but I think we're seeing it more in recent years because of the off-season schedule and players not being allowed to participate in contact practices and the restrictions to what they could do in practice. They're not taking bumps and bruises the way they used to, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s, before these changes were made. Like I said, with the restrictions, you can only wear pads X amount of days during the week. You're only allowed to do certain stuff during the off season. You're not allowed in the facilities until a certain time in the off season. Those types of injuries, I think, like the season ending injuries, ACL injuries, stuff like that, are becoming more common because of that. These guys are keeping themselves in better shape, but they're not able to take the same bumps and bruises that you were able to in more recent years. But in general, I do agree that the product is a little bit more lackluster. A little bit more news for you guys. Danny Amendola left the game on Monday night with a knee injury. He exited in the third quarter. He'll be evaluated. We don't know any news yet. The game just ended.
Yeah, we're doing this late Monday night, early Tuesday morning.
Right now it's 3 a.m. Also in the Monday
Hard
night
work
game.
And dedication.
Also in the Monday night game, Mario Williams injured his foot. He left the game early as well. We have some suspension news coming out of Carolina, where defensive end Wes Horton has been suspended 4 games for violating the league performance-enhancing drug policy. So 4 games for that guy. Out of Chicago, tight end Martellus Bennett is going to play through a rib injury. The severity of it is not known. Doesn't really matter if he's going to play through it, does it?
I mean, last year, kind of later in the season, he was playing through similar injuries, and it didn't really affect his play because they needed him. It was a game where Brandon Marshall had left, but, you know, he still stepped up. It kind of matters because they're kind of still alive in the playoff race in Chicago.
They have reemerged as a potential playoff crasher.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I do remember Martellus Bennett in recent years seems to have
fight through injuries.
Not only that, but he seems to disappear later on in the year. But I, you know, with the injuries to Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey last year, he inherited way more of a role, and he's seeing that a lot more this year because of the idea that Brandon Marshall isn't there. Alshon Jeffrey's been banged up. Yeah. I mean, they're playing. They're three main targets on offense right now, especially since Forte is gone, or has been banged up, and he should play this week.
I sure fucking hope so.
What we've been seeing is an offense led by Alshon Jeffrey, Martellus Bennett, and Eddie Royal.
And Jeffrey didn't play this weekend.
He didn't? No. Oh yeah, he was ruled out. I had to change that very early in the day. Okay.
But there was a bad call by John Fox in this game too. They should have kicked the field goal. They ended up going for it on fourth and goal, maybe, I think. And they didn't get it. And if they would have kicked the field goal, they would have had an opportunity to win the game later on.
Right, and then they scored late in the game, and then they had to go for two to tie the game up to go to overtime. Didn't get the two-point conversion. I think John Fox's status right now is just a fill-in, or he's just showing up to collect a paycheck, if you will.
Could be, or he made the dumb decision because it was his former team. They were playing Denver.
That's true. More news. We're going to fly through these real quick. Cincinnati Bengals defensive back Darquez Denard needs shoulder surgery. He's going to be out for the rest of the year. Texans quarterback Brian Hoyer will start versus the New Orleans Saints this weekend. Sharkhandrick East-West is day-to-day with a hamstring. Mike tries to throw in these nicknames for me and make me look stupid. Chiefs running back. Or what is he, a hybrid? DeAnthony Thomas, a.k.a. Run D.E.T. Suffered a concussion. He is going through the protocol. We always talk about that. The new fullback for the Chiefs and defensive tackle, Dontari Poe, scores a 1-yard rushing touchdown. Most fantasy irrelevant touchdown of the week. But
the year.
But he is now the heaviest person to ever score a touchdown in the NFL at 346 pounds. Or is it the heaviest to score a rushing touchdown? Because defensive tackles have scored touchdowns.
Yeah, but I don't think there's any defensive tackles bigger than this guy.
No, he's huge.
He's big.
Okay, New York Giants tight end Larry Donnell has been cleared to play. He suffered a neck injury. It's cost him a few games. But coming off the bye, he got healthy. He should be ready to go over the weekend. Staying in New York, Jets cornerback Darrelle Revis suffered a concussion. He will go through protocol. Center Nick Mangold. I'm reading this right off the page. This is what Mike reported. Center Nick Mangold cut on his pussy. He actually had a laceration on his hand, which is deeper than a cut. But he left the game. Mike wasn't happy about it.
I'm saying, like, you know, it's a cut on your hand. Just tape it up, man. Like,
yeah, J.J. Watt and Brian Cushing split their noses open every game, and they play.
I think that it had something to do with his neck injury.
It could have been, and they didn't want to report it that way.
And they played like absolute crap over the weekend. So
DeAndre Hopkins had a huge game on them.
Maybe they just wanted to get him out of the game before further injury.
Philly tight end Zach Ertz suffered a concussion. He'll go through the protocol. Tennessee Titans wide receiver Kendall Wright is expected back for Week 12. We think it, but it's pretty much obvious that he was held out this week because it was a Thursday game. So by holding him out for this game, he got more rest going into Week 12. Redskins running back Alfred Morris is day-to-day with a rib injury. He's questionable to play next week. And finally, Redskins tight end Jordan Reed has a sprained MCL. He's day-to-day. He's just been injury-riddled his whole career, and it sucks because he's so good.
He is really good, and it's a shame.
Yeah.
But there's players like that that come and go all the time.
All right, that's going to wrap up the injuries, news, and notes. We are now going to jump into our Week 12 picks, where we're going to talk about some quarterbacks when we get to those games. And it just so happens they're both prime timers. Mike, recap on how we did last week and the standings for the year.
Last week, Matt was 10-4. He now sits at 105-55 on the year.
Oh.
And last week, I was 9-5, sitting 7 games back with 98 wins, 63 losses. I will somehow figure out a way to make up this ground.
I'm doing a Ray Lewis dance in my chair. All right, let's jump right into it. We have 3 Thanksgiving games. And while we're mentioning Thanksgiving, we want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving because this should be out on Wednesday.
Fuck Thanksgiving.
Mike doesn't like Thanksgiving.
Holidays.
First game.
First game up is the Thursday. First game of the Thursdays. And it starts at 12:30. And it's the Philadelphia Eagles going to Detroit to play the Lions.
Make sure you have your fantasy lineup set.
Yeah.
Philly at Detroit. Jeez, I haven't even looked at the games this week.
No, me either. This is the first time I'm doing it.
Oh yeah, you didn't even make your picks, so I could actually look at it.
Yeah, I did.
I'm trying to see if there's going to be a worse game for the week.
I mean, I got my pick. I'm going to take Detroit, man. Philly's been slipping the last couple weeks.
I'll take Philly. I think they got the shit under the stick against Miami. It was pouring rain in Miami to start that game.
It was. But
they did have some costly mistakes.
No, that was Dallas, dude.
Oh, Dallas, Miami, right. Yeah. I'm sorry. No, Philly just sucks.
Philly played Tampa Bay.
Philly.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Philly gave up 5 touchdowns to Jameis Winston. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they weren't ready to play this game. I don't know what the fuck it was, but I still think Philly's got something left in the tank.
I'll tell you what, man. Chip Kelly might be the next guy on the hot seat.
It's possible. I heard him on a Philly AM radio station today.
What the fuck are you listening to Philly AM radio stations for?
It was something that was like a clip that ESPN played. I was watching ESPN this morning. But it was like the guy asked him something along the lines of like, he said like, you know, we know you don't yell at your players, but is it maybe time to start yelling at your players? So like you have to figure out something that's going to work.
Yeah, but that's not going to work. These are grown men. But, they're not college kids.
Well, that's exactly what Chip Kelly said. And then they kind of jabbed back and forth at each other. And the guy said, well, I would yell at my guys and maybe they wouldn't be as bad as they're doing under you. And then Chip Kelly was like, all right, we're done here, and hung up the phone.
It's a possibility.
Regardless, I'm taking Philly. Why not?
Yeah.
I have a couple games I could play around with.
Yeah. Next game up is a 4:30 start, and that's the undefeated Carolina Panthers sitting at 10-0, going to the Dallas Cowboys.
I think this is going to be a tough game for Dallas. They played good last week, but they didn't look that good. You know what I mean?
No, they didn't look that good, and a lot of people are hyped up that Tony Romo's back and Dez Bryant's back and we won our game. And, you know, it kind of looks like it's a trap game. But Dallas is the favorite.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Opening line has Dallas as a favorite. I'm still taking Carolina.
Yeah, I'm taking Carolina too.
Hot start for Carolina, 11-0.
You look at Dallas, they won their first two games with Romo. They go down. Romo goes down. They lose 7 in a row. First game back on the road, Romo, they win.
A lot of people are going to get on the Dallas bandwagon. Yeah, I think it's too late for it.
No, it's not too late. They still have a shot at the playoffs because the NFC East is garbage. But Carolina is probably going to win this game and move on.
Whoever wins the NFC East is going to have a sub-500 record.
The Giants.
Probably. Next game is Thursday night. Football.
And
it could be a better game than people would have thought 5 weeks ago.
Yeah, especially the way Green Bay looked last week. And Thursday Night Football is going to be the Chicago Bears at the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay looked better than I thought they were last week.
Yep. Here's what I will say, though. Green Bay's playing at home. Eddie Lacy.
It hasn't really mattered, though, this year.
I know. Eddie Lacy finally put together a 100-yard game for the first time in the fucking season. They did look a little better. The offense meshed a little bit more. I'm going to take Green Bay.
I'm going to go against that and take Chicago.
All right. So, started off with the Sunday games, Mike.
You said it yourself. They're going to be, you know, playoff monsters, like, you know, wrecking everybody's hopes. I think it starts here. 1 o'clock games, New Orleans at Houston.
Before we jump into that, do you legitimately think Chicago makes the playoffs?
No, okay. But you said they wreck other people's
chances.
Okay,
yeah, okay, I just wanted to make sure, because then I was going to say, because then you picked Minnesota to win the division, Green Bay to win the wild card, and that would mean Chicago would take the third wild card.
No, that's not going to happen.
Right, okay.
I just think they're going to wreck other people's playoff hopes.
All right, so jump into the first 1 o'clock.
New Orleans at Houston. I really like Houston's matchup here. New Orleans' defense has been really bad. Maybe coming off the bye week, they
new defensive coordinator.
Yeah. Maybe they shake things up a little bit, but I don't think you can.
I'm going to take New Orleans indoors. They generally play better coming off the bye. Sean Payton is good at recouping after a bye week and coming out and really just putting together a solid game plan. They've had 2 weeks to prep for Houston now.
They have, but 2 weeks ago they were prepping for Hoyer, and then this week they were prepping for
Yates,
and now they're prepping for Hoyer again. It might be something tricky, it may not, but the weakness of the New Orleans team is their secondary, and Houston's been great this year.
DeAndre Hopkins is going to go off, but I just think that with the ability to recover and really hone in on their issues, that they're going to come out firing. If you're playing, you know, Drew Brees is going to leave it all out there. I think this is a game where he has to, because they still have a chance of contending in the wild card. The season's not over for them yet.
No, it's not. It's a long shot, but...
He could be playing for a starting spot next season.
Who?
Drew Brees.
Nah. As long as Drew Brees is on the roster, he's going to start.
Here's the thing. You know, if they do wind up this bad this season... And
it's because of the defense.
With a high draft pick, with an early draft pick, they could wind up taking the quarterback of the future. And then, you know, I mean, this is fantasy booking down the line, but if they ended up taking quarterback early in the draft and in 2016 they start playing like shit, you got to pull the plug on the dude, no?
I don't think it happens. I don't think
he's all right. Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm talking. Fuck me. I'm talking way too far.
Drew Brees could play the way he's playing now for another probably 5 years.
Mike, call me a piece of shit whenever you want, because that was so dumb for me to talk about.
Next game. Yeah, pretty much. Next game is the St. Louis Rams going to Cincinnati, playing the Bengals.
All right, the next game is the Minnesota Vikings traveling to Atlanta to play in the...
Yeah, we both took Cincinnati. All right, Minnesota Vikings going down to Atlanta. Atlanta's going to have a new stadium next year, I think, right? Either next year or the year after. You're They're the building it right now.
You're the stadium guy.
They're building it right now, and it looks like it's going to be a nice stadium. But anyway, Falcons. Falcons while, hosting the Vikings.
While we're on the talk of stadiums, I do have to say Baltimore has one of the nicest stadiums I've ever been to. Not only was it nice to inside, the fans were actually really cool about me being there. My cousin has season tickets, so all the people in his section were really friendly to me, and they're pretty cool. And
Baltimore is a nice place.
It is, and from where the inner harbor, from the parking garage we parked in, we actually got to walk through Camden Yards to get to M&T Bank, and you walk through center field in the on the outside, and it's like it was such a cool thing to walk through. And then we noticed on the way back that they have little plaques on the concrete of every home run that's been knocked out of the stadium and where it landed, who hit it, and the distance. It was really cool.
The fuck is the name of that street? Utah Street.
I don't.
Yeah. Utah Street.
All right, so Minnesota, Atlanta.
It's a nice stadium.
Atlanta's on a skid, man, and their run defense is not really that good. Peterson could have a really good game. I'm going to take Minnesota.
This is a tough one for me.
It shouldn't be,
but because I have Minnesota winning the division, I want to take them, but I'm not going to. I'm going to take Atlanta.
I mean, Minnesota's defense... literally, their strength is everything that Atlanta's offensive strength is. You know what I mean? Minnesota's secondary is really good. Atlanta has Julio, Matt Ryan.
You know what, though? Teddy Bridgewater got, he was banged up going into the game.
Yeah, he hasn't been playing that well.
He was hit a lot in the Green Bay game. And, they had a couple turnovers. Adrian Peterson had a huge turnover in the third quarter. Maybe early fourth quarter, and they were driving, and it was just it was the game breaker.
They need this game to bounce back.
They do need this game to bounce back, but I don't think it happens this week.
Matt Ryan didn't play that good either against Indy, and they lost in on the last drive of the game.
They did.
All right, so next game.
Next game up is the New York Giants going down to Washington playing the Redskins.
Yeah. I'm going to take the Giants. Mike's taking the Giants. Coming off of a bye, division game, must-win scenario at this point because Washington's only a game back, right? I think they're still only a game back.
Yeah, I think they have 4 wins, and the Giants were on a bye, so they have 5.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago. Are you fucking kidding me?
I might have took Washington at that point.
2 weeks ago, Washington looked really good against the Saints.
Yeah, they're a game back.
Washington looked really good against the Saints 2 weeks ago. But then, understandably, against the Panthers, they looked terrible.
Side note, it's 3:30 a.m. and Iron Mike's alarm clock just went off to get up for work.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Listen, man. I think the Giants can overwhelm Washington in this game. Alfred Morris a little banged up. I know he's been splitting carries with Matt Jones, but that could have a huge impact, especially since the Giants haven't been good against the run recently. They have one of the worst defenses in the league, but I think the offense comes to play.
Yeah, Eli is a game, big game player. This is a big game. Next up, we got the Tampa Bay Bucks at the Indianapolis Colts.
Big game, Jameis against the seasoned veteran Matt Hasselbeck. Indy didn't look good in the win against Atlanta, and Tampa Bay looked really good. Jameis Winston threw 5 touchdowns of 5 different players. He tied a rookie record for most touchdowns in a game, and Doug Martin ran for over 200 yards.
Yeah, I think he finished with, 235?
Yeah, something crazy. And he didn't have a single catch,
no touchdowns. Going into this year, we kind of pushed Jameis Winston under the rug.
Yeah,
no?
Yeah. And we pushed Tampa Bay under the rug, too, and they're contending right now.
Yeah, over the last few weeks, I've liked Tampa Bay. I've kind of...
You have to be turned on to the idea that...
I've kind of been picking Jameis Winston. You know, I've been favoring Jameis Winston. I picked him up in a bunch of my leagues.
One of the things that I was big on in the offseason was that this offense could be good, but I didn't think it would be good this year. I thought they would struggle, and they did earlier, but they're really starting to turn it on. Yeah. Winston's spreading the ball out a lot. He's not necessarily keying in on his big guys. He had Safarian Jenkins, Evans, and Vincent Jackson all in this game.
I don't think Jenkins played.
Okay, but he had Evans and Vincent Jackson
for the first time in a few weeks.
And he spread the ball up pretty well. They both had touchdown catches. I don't think any of his receivers had more than like 60 yards receiving. So that's just showing the amount of how much he's spreading the ball out. And then you get these guys that are catching touchdown passes that I literally have no fucking idea who they are. Like Ja'Cory Shepherd or something. He caught one.
Lewis Murphy.
Yeah. Let's see who else caught. Evans had one. Evans had 63 yards. He led all the receivers in yardage. Vincent Jackson had one. Brate had a touchdown. Chris Sims had a touchdown. And Russell Shepherd had a touchdown.
Yeah, Brate's a tight end.
It's a bunch of no-name guys. And, you know, this offense is starting to click, especially with the emergence of Duggernaut as a legitimate running back, at least this year. And if it's going to trend this way, then next year he's going to suck.
Well, that's what happened after his rookie year. His rookie year, he actually put together two back-to-back 200-yard games. So,
well, I'm not talking game-wise. I'm talking year by year.
No, but
his rookie
year
had a good year. Then he fell off. Now he's having a good year.
Indy's.
I mean, they played.
Their defense isn't
Indy
great.
Indy played pretty good against the pass. Julio's Julio. But they did play decent against the pass. They forced Matt Ryan into two interceptions. We got to fly through these. So
yeah, who are you taking?
I'm taking Tampa Bay.
All right. Next up is the Buffalo Bills at Kansas City Chiefs. I like Kansas City all of a sudden.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take them too.
I think they've won their last four.
Yep, they're on a four-game winning streak. I'll take Kansas City.
They are a 5-5 team that you want to be. You don't want to be a 5-5 team like the Jets are right now.
Right. They're on the bad end of a 5-5.
The Jets.
The Jets are on the bad end of a 5-5. Next game is Oakland traveling to Tennessee to play the Titans. I'm going to take Oakland.
Yep, me too.
They struggled a little bit this week, but I think this is a bounce back game for them.
Yeah, big letdown game for them. That was a game most people saw them winning. But anyway, San Diego traveling to Jacksonville playing the Jaguars.
I'll get into this in the fantasy golden garbage section, but San Diego is a really suspect defense, so I'm going to take Jacksonville.
I'm going to take San Diego. I just see it as one of those games, man.
All right, go to the next one.
Miami at the Jets.
Oh, man. How banged up is the Jets defense right now?
The Jets defense...
Or are they just not playing good?
They're just not playing well.
But all right, I'm going to take the Jets.
If Revis can't get back on the field, it's not going to help.
I think that this is going to help them bounce back, so... I'm going to take the Jets.
You're going to take the Jets?
Yeah.
I'm going to take Miami for whatever reason.
You're pulling the mat?
Yeah.
Bet against your team?
No, not even that, because at this point, I don't care if the Jets win or not.
All
right. It's strictly fantasy right now.
All right, go to the next one.
There's only 2 4 o'clock games. This is the first one.
Because of the Thanksgiving schedule.
Yeah, because of the Thanksgiving schedule.
We don't even really need to talk about this game.
We're both taking Arizona. Next up is Pittsburgh at Seattle. I like Seattle. I just don't think that Pittsburgh's offense.
You wanna lunch bet this one?
Sure.
I'll take Pittsburgh.
Okay. I don't think they're gonna do well traveling and playing in Seattle.
It's an East Coast West Coast game too.
Yeah, Seattle hasn't been great this year at home, but I think they put it together here.
Little stat drop for you guys. In Marshawn Lynch's career, he's never had a game where he's rushed for more than 150 yards. Thomas Rawls has done that twice in his rookie year. Lynch is being reevaluated for an
abdomen injury.
he may play in this game, but if he does, he's probably only going to get limited time. It could be a big Royals game, but I do like Pittsburgh's defense, so I'm going to stick with Pittsburgh. Sunday Night Football, New England travels to Sports Authority Field at Mile High Stadium.
Wow.
To play the Denver Brock Osweilers. And this is one of the things we wanted to talk about, like we said, with the primetime games, because today, on Monday, the Denver Broncos announced that even if Peyton Manning was healthy, Brock Osweiler will be the starter for them this, at least this week, and possibly moving forward for the rest of the year. Peyton Manning is going to get a second opinion on his foot injury.
Yeah, I don't think even if he can practice that it's the right move to put him on the field to play.
Another stat drop here. Week 11 was the first game all season that the Broncos didn't commit a turnover. And that was without Peyton Manning. This could be a good game. You can't bet against New England right now. I'm taking New England.
Yeah, I'm going to take New England as well. I'm not going to try and get cute on that game.
All right, so let's just move to the Monday Night Football Dumpster Fire Game of the Week.
Can we
brought to you by Snickers, because you're not hungry when you're tired.
Can we backtrack a minute?
Yeah.
Let's say, I know we touched this on this last week, but let's say it's now week 15 or 16 and Manning is fully healthy. Denver already has a playoff spot locked up. Do you think they bring him back?
In week 15 or 16?
Before the playoffs.
If they have it locked up, no. Osweiler, will finish out the season, the regular season, and then they'll evaluate the situation going into the playoffs. That's how I see it going. I mean, is there any other way?
No, that's somewhat what I thought.
If Denver drops a bunch and Manning's healthy by week 15 and they have to win, it's got to be something they consider. But with the way Manning's played, you know, it's got to be so bad that they would consider putting Peyton Manning back in, especially since Osweiler played, you know, turnover-free football for four quarters. I think you're going to have to evaluate Osweiler a lot more moving forward in order to make a real judgment decision if it came down to it. But yeah, so dumpster fire game of the week, Baltimore going to Cleveland. The thing we wanted to talk about here, which we said we would talk about last week, this week, is Johnny Football is a starter for the rest of the season. They're out of the playoffs. I don't think there's any way they can make the playoffs. They might literally be statistically ruled out, and they might be the only team in the league besides like the Niners that are. But this is a unique position because Johnny Manziel is going to be the starter for the whole year. There's been questions about his off-the-field bullshit, which, you know, we don't really talk about. But even on the field, like, he said that he's been struggling because he can't see over the line of scrimmage. And then his coaches start talking shit about him, saying, okay, well, you're the same size as Drew Brees, and Drew Brees is a potential Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So do they really stand behind him moving forward? Into the offseason? Do they bring in a guy who can compete with them? Or do they keep, you know, who's it there, McCown?
I think McCown's on a one-year deal.
But I'm saying, you know, do you extend that to another one-year deal and let him compete again? Or do you bring in a veteran type of guy? But, you know, we talked about it last week. If the Broncos trade Peyton Manning, is Cleveland a place he could wind up? You know what I mean? Like, just any type of scenario like that. Where, what would it take for Cleveland to give up on Manziel?
Probably a new coaching staff.
Okay, yeah, I could see that. Because he was brought in by this regime.
If Mike Pettine decides, you know, or if the Cleveland Browns organization, let me restate that. If the Cleveland Browns organization decides that they're going to let go of Pettine, you'll probably see no more Manziel in Cleveland.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And the sad thing is, they wasted a first-round pick on a project player, you know? And that's the issue, is they wasted an investment. They traded down, or they traded something. I think they traded Trent Richardson for the first-round pick or something like that. It might not have been Trent Richardson, but they got a first-round pick out of a trade, and this is what they wasted it on. So if Manziel doesn't pan out this year, you know, they bring in a new coaching staff, whatever it may be, they have to do something.
The thing with a guy like Manziel is he's a playmaker. Well, he was in college, and you've seen flashes of it in the pros. so far. All right. So you don't want to give up on it.
All right, that's going to do it for our Week 12 picks. Before we go into our fantasy golden garbage, we're going to pay some bills real quick. Like we said earlier, today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. They have titles such as The Girl on the Train, The Hobbit, Divergent, Lean In, and The Book Thief. Tons of books. What do we say, over 160,000, Iron Mike?
I believe the number is 180,000.
And you can get them for anything. Mike's got his iPad in front of him. He can get any book he wants on that iPad. You can get it on a Kindle. You can get it on any tablet, any MP3 player, anything you want. Audible's got it for you. Go to audibletrial.com/ontheclock, and you'll get a free audiobook and a 30-day free trial. Once again, that's audibletrial.com/ontheclock. And while we're talking about our great sponsors, once again, if you go to ontheclockpodcast.com, click on the Amazon banner, and you give us a little kickback. And you know, the holiday seasons are coming.
I know for sure I'm going to be using
it. I just went on and bought a mixer so our podcast could sound incredible. And I did it through ontheclockpodcast.com. I clicked the Amazon banner. It's the same as shopping on Amazon anyway, but you're helping us out. And we love help. And we want to be able to give back to you guys. So by helping us do this, it'll put some money in our pockets and help pay the bills and keep the podcast going so you could listen to me and Mike talk shit to each other about terrible football teams or good football teams or whatever it is. So go to ontheclockpodcast.com, click the Amazon banner. All right, back from paying the bills. We're going to do some fantasy golden garbage, and then we're going to close down the show for the week. I'll start it off. My fantasy gold quarterback this week is Drew Brees. He's got to bounce back. They're playing indoors on turf, which is generally good for not only Brees but Brandon Cooks, who generally doesn't play well outside. I think it could be a big game for them.
Is it turf?
If they're playing inside, it's turf.
Not necessarily.
All right. Well,
Arizona has grass.
Cool. They're playing inside. I think it's on turf.
Arizona's grass actually stays outside, and then they move it inside. It's not really like your standard dome.
He's a fucking stadium guy.
My quarterback for the week is going to be Derek Carr. I think he bounces back.
He played like dog shit.
He did, but he's playing the dog shit Titans.
I'm sorry. I take that back. Dog shit is a term only usable on Colin Kaepernick, who, by the way, is on the IR. He's done for the season, and he's done in San Fran. So congratulations on the dog shit. I hope you pick up somewhere because, I mean, I think he could still be serviceable somewhere depending on the...
Maybe Cleveland.
It's got to be the offense. You know, he's got to be in an offense that'll utilize him. Anyway, my fantasy gold receiver this week is Martavis Bryant. They are playing the Seattle Seahawks. He's going to get coverage from Kerry Williams. And we all know how terrible Kerry Williams is.
Either him or Antonio Brown.
Brown's going to be on Sherman. Sherman's going to be on Brown. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, they might switch it up. I think size, if size-wise, you should match up Sherman on Bryant. But
if you had
Antonio
to,
Brown's
all right, let me put it to you
amazing,
this way.
So you
if you're Seattle, who would you rather have Richard Sherman covering? If it's a pick-your-poison type of thing, would you rather have Martavis Bryant have a big game or Antonio Brown have a big game?
I think in this game, you throw back and you leave him on one side of the field.
All right.
Take 50-50 shots.
Give us your gold play of the week.
Nate Washington, because the New Orleans Saints secondary is awful. They're going to try and target in on DeAndre Hopkins, and Nate Washington's put together a few good games this year.
So do you think Hopkins takes a step back, or Hopkins is just as good as he is, and it's senseless to call him a gold play?
I try to steer away from stud players in my gold picks.
Agreed. And, you know, I was doing that earlier in the year, but I've been pulling back on those a little bit, too. No, I'm saying I was making good players gold plays. Anyway, my fantasy gold running back for the week. God damn, it's late. I'm tired. My fantasy gold running back of the week is TJ Yeldon going up against the San Diego Chargers. San Diego's rush defense is awful.
Are you tired?
I should be in bed right now.
I've slept 4 hours.
I should be two hours into Monday Night Raw. Anyway, TJ Yeldon's going up against the suspect San Diego Chargers. He had a decent game this week against the Titans, but I think he really, really puts himself on display. They haven't been using him as a goal line back, and that boggles my mind. I think they start realizing that this is how they're going to have to score when they get in the red zone. I would say 90 yards and a touchdown.
Okay, I'm going to take John Stewart. Dallas Cowboys are pretty bad at defending running backs.
Yes, they are. I think they're like bottom five over the last 5 weeks.
Yeah, they're bottom five.
My fantasy gold tight end this week is Delanie Walker. I'm just sticking to my trend of wanting any tight end that plays against Oakland because Oakland's dead last against tight ends.
I'm going to take Jimmy Graham because right next to Oakland is the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that's who Jimmy Graham is going to be playing against this weekend.
All right, let's move to garbage. My garbage start at quarterback this week is Ryan Tannehill against the New York Jets. The Jets' secondary has been suspect for the last few weeks, but I think this is a big bounce-back game for them. It's a divisional game. It's meaningful. They need to start winning games if they want to keep in playoff contention. Like Mike said earlier, they're on the bad side of 5-5, and they need to turn it around, and it starts with the defense. So, sorry, Tannehill.
I'm going to go with Blake Bortles. No really statistical background on this one. It's just one of those games where I think San Diego's going to own it.
But do you think that Jacksonville's playing from behind the whole game? Or do you think it's competitive, but San Diego's controlling the game?
Well, you know what? One thing I can throw at you is that San Diego has been awful against the run this year. So with you picking
Yeldon... So if Yeldon's having a good game, Bortles might be taking a step back.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, my fantasy garbage start at receiver this week, and I'm going to hear a lot of shit for this. Dez Bryant, who is facing Carolina on Thursday, he's getting Josh Norman, and Josh Norman's been really good all year.
Yeah, he kept Julio Jones quiet last year. He's yet to face him this year, but...
Also, for those fantasy owners out there, if you have Julio, be prepared for some tough matchups in the playoffs because Atlanta sees Carolina twice during the fantasy football playoffs. So that means Julio gets Josh Norman twice. But Dez, I think he didn't have the greatest game this week, but he did have a touchdown. I think he keeps the same type of game and maybe not even a touchdown, which would probably give him about 4 or 5 points.
I'm going to go with Brandon Marshall for my garbage wide receiver pick. I just don't see the Jets really piecing anything together for the rest of the season.
I picked him last week. How did I do on that?
Brandon Marshall.
That's garbage. He didn't do too much this week, did he?
16 last week, Ugh. Brandon Marshall.
All right, my fantasy garbage this week at running back is Darren McFadden going against the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas has been meh. Oh, wait, no. Against the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
He plays for Dallas. Yeah. Carolina's good against the run, especially when Kuechly's healthy, and he's been healthy the last few weeks. So, yeah, good luck, Darren.
I'm going to take D'Angelo Williams playing in Seattle, traveling West Coast. It's a hard thing to do. A lot of people don't buy into it, but I do.
And Seattle's defense has been stingy the last few weeks as well. My fantasy garbage at tight end is Mike's gold tight end, and that is Jimmy Graham. I just think that the offense focus is elsewhere, which they've been doing all year, and Jimmy Graham suffers yet again.
I'm going to take Martellus Bennett. They're playing on Thursday night. Thursday night games have been rough all year for the passing games.
Green Bay's D has been pretty good against tight ends, too.
That has a lot to do with Haha.
Yeah. Quentin Rollins is pretty good, too. He's like their slot nickel linebacker type guy. Anyway, who gives a shit? All right, so that's going to do it for Fantasy Golden Garbage, and that's going to wrap it up for us here at the Year on the Clock podcast.
DraftKings, you want to talk about DraftKings?
Oh, yeah, real quick. Listen, we don't know the two winners this week. We don't know if they're fans or if they just found the contest, but F West 15 finished in first with 148 points. Notably, he started Carson Palmer and Danny Amendola. Otherwise, he didn't have anybody else break 20 points. And then,
man, if I would have put together a lineup this week, I probably would. I probably would have won.
Coming in second was Scott Garris, Notable players included Cam Newton, Danny Amendola, and Adrian Peterson. This is a weird week. 148 wouldn't have even gotten them in the top five last week.
Yeah, this is kind of what sprung up Danielle's question. She was looking at low totals in the week.
And in the contest that I cashed in, I had three entries and a free roll. Two of them wound up cashing. But I mean, I had Cam Newton and Julio, and that was pretty much it. I didn't really have a lot. My kicker and my defense really carried me. For FWS 15, if you're a fan of the show, shoot us an email at ontheclockpodcast@gmail.com. We'll get your information and we'll send you out a t-shirt. If you're not a fan, then you're not hearing this and you could take it deep.
Balls deep.
So next week is going to be a small slate of Sunday games, right?
No, because there's no teams on a bye. We're going to see.
Yeah, so it'll be just about the same as it's been. You got to figure six teams are playing. There were six teams on a bye 2 weeks ago, right?
Yep.
All right, yeah, so it'll be a normal slate. Once this hits on Wednesday, we will post a link for the DraftKings tournament. We encourage everybody to come sign up. It's been really competitive, and we're having a lot of fun with it. So, also, I decided I'm going to send Marcy a shirt because last week she finished the highest out of all the listeners. So congrats, Marcy. I talked to you about that earlier, but we'll make sure to get you one of the shirts. Anyway, that is going to do it for us here at the You're on the Clock podcast. As always, make sure you go to Facebook and like the fan page. You can find it at On the Clock Podcast. You can find me on Twitter at @Matt_Geiger_. You can find Iron Mike on Twitter at @Iron_Mike_NJ. You can find the podcast Twitter page at On the Clock Podcast, or You're on the Clock. Yeah, that's it.
Hey, I just want to say thanks to Joe Radiman for inviting me to his new dynasty league.
Yeah, Mike's going to jump into a startup dynasty. I guess they're starting this offseason.
32 teams.
Have fun with that, dude. I'm in a 32 team, and it's tough. And you're doing full defense, too.
Cool.
Yeah. It'll be fun. I'm telling you. I'm in one with Joe already, and I'm having a lot of fun with it. While we're talking about Joe, make sure you check out his stuff on numberfire.com. Pretty good stuff all the time. Also, we want to thank Lineup Media Group for giving us a platform to talk about football and... you know, they're doing a lot of good work over there, so make sure you go to lineupmediagroup.com and check out all their podcasts. They have a bunch of stuff, sports talk. They have the new NHL podcast, which you can find at nhlpodcast.com. So, yeah, continue to show us some love. Continue to show them some love because they're letting everybody on the network put out some great stuff. So I think that's going to do it for us, Mike.
Thanks.
Let me see if I can put in a lock for this week. Let's see. No, I can't. All right, so once again.
You want a lock? New England.
Yeah, there you go. Once again, thanks for tuning in.
This will be the week that they finally lose because I'm
going to push. Be on the lookout for potential Thanksgiving special episode that I might be trying to put together. So that's going to do it. And tune in next week when Iron Mike kicks me in the dick because New England loses.
You're on the Clock with Matt Geiger. Download the show and link to our social media accounts at ontheclockpodcast.com. Plus, be sure to check out the entire podcast lineup, including Let's Get It On with Big John McCarthy and Sean Wheelock, Youth Baseball Talk, Ocho Man Behind the Eight Ball, and more.